So what do you want out of your life? What are your goals? What would constitute a good life? What would constitute a good day for you? When you wake up in the morning, what do you want from the day ahead? Peace of mind? To be happy?
Contentment.
Sometimes just to get through the day. Does anyone else ever have those days? Just want to get through today. Be done with it. And I think as we think about what we want out of life, a lot of times we would list off a bunch of blessings. A list of things that we want, you know, health, family, some comfort, enough money to do what I like to do, all of these type of things. We tend to want out of life, when we answer this question, what do I want out of life, we tend to think about what life will give to me, what I will get out of life. I would suggest, as followers of Jesus, as baptized persons, that we are called to think of what do I want out of life in different terms. Not, maybe God has something to say to us this morning. We should answer that right now. No. Not what do I get out of life, but what story is my life telling the world? This is the question that we ask. What our lives will communicate to other people? In 1 Peter, as we've been going through it this summer, we said that the question is, how should I live? How should I live? It's a question that we all want to know, and a lot of times we want to know it because how we live relates to what we want. How can I live to get these goals? And today Peter says to us, we live not to just get what we want, we live to tell Jesus' story to the world with our lives and with our words. Which means that my life is not just about me. Right? I mean, we've heard that before. That's a good one, though, right? To remember, my life is not just about me. And even my faith is not just about me and God. When God calls us, he doesn't just say, all right, it's you and me now. You know, as long as we pray, talk to each other each day, and as long as you read your Bible, you know, as long as you have fun at church or you go to church, whatever, it's not just about me and God, my faith. When God calls us, it's not just to a relationship with him, although it is to a relationship with him. It's to a different kind of way of living within the world. It's a different way of having relationships. It's a different way of doing community. It's a different way of thinking about my life and about other people in my life. God has called us into a missionary life. We talked about that last week. To a missionary life. Which means that we live between God and other people. Not just me and God. And not just me and other people. We live as priests. We've talked about this before. Which is a priest is a bridge, a connector between God and the world. And so our lives are not just about what I get from the world, but what story is my life telling to the world? Which means that we have to put aside some of our favorite phrases when we think about life. I have a right to this. Gone. I deserve this. I deserve to have this. I deserve to be treated like this. Gone. My daughter's new favorite phrase, I want this, gone. I mean, we can assert with God and with others things that we want, but not in the sense that we have to be given it, that we deserve it, that we have a right to it. That's not in our vocabulary anymore. Look at what Peter commands the people in verse 8. Finally, all of you, have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. This isn't These aren't commands to have things, to fill out our list of things we want out of life. These are things that we are called to be with one another. These are all communal commands. Sympathy is about feeling with someone else. Unity of spirit requires others to be united with. Love for one another, a tender heart, a humble mind, all of these have to do with how we are in community. And then he goes a step further. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. What place do we have then to say, I have a right to this or I deserve this? If other people give us evil or abuse, we are called to repay with blessing. This is what we've been called to, it says. It is for this that you were called, to bless others. Again, that doesn't mean we have to live and submit to abuse time and again, but it means that we cannot exact punishment. We cannot live to give other people what they deserve. We live to bless. Remember that was the call way back to Abraham? We've read Genesis 12 many times since I've been here. God says, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. And then this says, not only, it continues the process of blessing. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others, and then that you might inherit a blessing again. So between God's blessing us and us receiving blessing is that we bless. That's our command. That's our calling. That's who we are. That's what it means to be a missionary. That's what it means to be a priest. And so, our calling then, because the story of Jesus is the story of how God is blessing the world, our lives are to tell that story. Our lives are to tell the story of Jesus to the world. This is how God is blessing you. Who is Jesus? What is the story of Jesus? Well, to use a few phrases from the New Testament, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That's Paul. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's very being. That's the letter to the Hebrews. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. That's John. Jesus is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. That's one of our earliest creeds, the Nicene Creed. This is Jesus is God in the flesh. If we want to see God, if we want to know what God is doing, we look to Jesus. And so, that means that when we look to Jesus, we know how God is blessing people. How does Jesus bless people? When he comes here, he eats with sinners, right? And he's criticized for the kinds of people he eats with. He surrounds himself with sick people, or at least he allows himself to be surrounded by sick people and people who are suffering. He calls nobodies to come and follow him and be with him and live life with him. He challenges the sinful ways of his culture and society. He forgives sinful people. This is who Jesus is. And ultimately, Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. In other words, Jesus suffered so that we could be blessed. This is the story of Jesus. Which means that if we want to ask, how do we tell the Jesus story to the world? The question is, how can I bless people like Jesus blessed people? Which means I'm willing to give up everything so that my life can be a blessing to others. That also means we leave the results up to God. You know, all those lists that we come up with for what we want with from our lives, we're listing out results that we want. These are things we can't control. We can seek them, but we can't control them. Money, health, family, all of these things, these are results. Loving family, people's adoration and praise, these are results. We leave the results up to God. That's what Jesus did. He said, I'm going to give my whole life and leave the results up to God. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to raise myself from the dead. Jesus, the human, the second person of the Trinity, just died and left the result, the resurrecting, the vindication, the justice, to God, his Father. We leave the results to God. We don't pursue results. We live to bless, and we leave the results up to God, which means that sometimes we might suffer for doing good in this world. Our immediate result, if we are willing to set apart Christ in our hearts and live for Christ and live the way of Christ and not the way of the world, might be ridicule. If we share with people that the reason for our hope is Jesus and we share that story with them in words, it might be rejection. It might be mockery. In many places in the world, it means that you will literally be prosecuted and suffer. We know that. Maybe we don't hear enough of those stories, but they're real. In lots of places in the world, a lot of times, following Jesus, worshiping Christ, results in suffering immediately. But that's not the end, because it wasn't the end for Jesus. The results that Jesus got in this world was rejection and suffering. But the end of the story is resurrection and hope and joy. Love wins. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh. This is the result that he gained from the world, but was made alive in the Spirit. This is the end of blessing from God. This is the story that Jesus' life told the world, and it's our call. It's what we call the gospel story, the good news. So the question for us all this morning is, what story is your life telling to the world? Not what do you want out of life, what can life get you, but what is your story? What story is your life telling to the world? What story is our church telling to the world? Do people know that when God plopped himself down into this world, that he landed right in the midst of outcasts and sinners and pariahs and losers? Do they know that? Only if we position ourselves in community with those people. Only if we plop ourselves down in the midst of people who are outcasts and rejects and people who are suffering. That's the only way the world knows that that's how God is working. Does the world know that God is worthy of praise not just when life feels good, but also when it hurts? Only if we praise God in the good times and when life hurts. They need to see our praise in any and all circumstances. That's how the world knows that God is worthy. Does the world know that God is willing to sacrifice so that they can be blessed? Only if we're willing to sacrifice so that other people can be blessed. Does the world know that God wants them back, no matter what they've done, no matter what they've said? No matter what goes on in their mind and heart, that God wants them back in his family. He wants them to return to him. He wants to throw his arms around them as the father welcomes back the prodigal son in that great story that Jesus told. Do people know that God wants to do that to them? Only if our arms are open wide and we are willing to embrace people who've hurt us. Only if we're willing to forgive. Only if we're willing to go out and regardless of what other people do or have done or plan to do to us and seek their blessing. This kind of life is risky because we might suffer, we might be rejected, we might face all kinds of results that we don't want. It's uncomfortable, it can be painful. It was for Jesus. This is the life that can be the most beautiful and redemptive and life-giving story to the world as well. That's the reward. Is the risk worth the reward? And that is the question of baptism. Are you willing to immerse yourself in this life of Jesus and telling the world this story, no matter what? For a lot of people, baptism means rejection. These things are synonymous. We think baptism is welcoming, and it is welcoming into God's kingdom, into God's family, but for a lot of people, baptism, for the early Christians, baptism meant rejection from family and from friends and from society. So baptism is the question of what we want our lives to be about, whether we're willing to leave the results up to God. We just go down into the baptismal waters, so to speak. We wait for God to bring us back up. So if you were wondering who's being baptized this morning, kind of you. You're not being baptized, but this is for a reminder of your baptism. Because that's how Peter ends this passage, recalling what our baptism is. It's an appeal to God that I want to live this life. I want, he says, a clean conscience, an appeal to God for a good or a clean conscience. It's saying, I want to live for you no matter what. I don't want to, on one hand, be living for Jesus, and on the other hand, be living for money. I don't want to, on one hand, be living to please God, and on the other hand, seek to please everyone around me. I want to please God. I want to please you. I want my conscience to be completely clear as the waters of baptism wash me. And so I'm going to invite you to come up. I'm going to pour the baptismal water. We're going to ask God that this water, as you come up, sorry, I'll explain what's going to happen. As you come up, if you so desire, I will dip my hand in the water and put a cross of water on your forehead as a reminder to you that you are baptized into the life of Jesus, that your life is a letter to the world about who God is, and that you can walk with that knowledge and that hope this week. So you'll come up, and I'll put that on your forehead. And if you're not baptized, if you haven't been baptized, we can talk about that. But I ask you, you can still come up, and I will say a prayer of blessing over you. Okay? If you don't want to come up, that's okay. You don't have to come up. If you would like me to come to you, once everyone has come through, please just raise your hand, and I can bring this baptismal water to you so that you can be reminded that you have been baptized into the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the meantime, our band is going to play. You can sing. And I would ask that you would come front rows first. So Kurt, you could, or actually Lauren, you could be the first one. And as the rows in front of you go, then you are welcome to come and follow them. But come, remember that you are baptized. Remember the story that God wants to bless you. And that God, ultimately, no matter what we face in this world, brings hope and resurrection.